younger sister, my 16-month-old sister, you know, we're playing, we're playing with the ball, with the toddler, and the floor. And then Raylene does what you do with the dog. You hide the ball, and then she said, and then the baby looked up, and the baby's like, "What's the ball?" And Raylene's like, "Grant has it." And I was like, "I don't have it." And the baby's like, "Arr, give me the ball." And then she, you know, tacked my leg and grew up a scar, right? It's like right here, I had a scar. And I was like, crazy little baby. Crazy. I also watched that same sister, that older sister that that let the other one assault me. I watched her dog recently, and she bit me. She did. It's a stupid little dog. It's really cute and fluffy. It's a little Pomeranian. But man, it bites you and scratches you and has sharp little tiny teeth. Now, I'm going to give you guys the honest to God truth. I'm a lot bigger than that dog, and I'm a lot bigger than Rochelle when she was a baby. And I could have annihilated both of them. And with this one, I probably should have. but I didn't. I've had kids kick me. I've had kids. I don't even know why I had kids, man. They're always mean to me. But I've had kids just do like terrible things, and it actually hurts. And they can only do that because I allow them to. I could, you know, take that little baby and just throw her, and she'd never bother me again. I could have shot the dog the other week when I was watching it, and it would never bother me again. I had that power. You see, just because God is all powerful doesn't mean we can't hurt him, because God can only be hurt because he allows us to hurt him. Matthew 26:53 states, "Thinkest thou that I cannot pray now, or that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" You see, here's the cool thing. I love God. Jesus is amazing. I mean, you see, Jesus was about to be taken. He was about to be crucified. Let me say that again. He was about to be taken and crucified. By the way, God felt Jesus as God, but Jesus felt that pain. He felt it as much as you and I would. I honestly don't believe, according to Matthew, I don't think there's any special grace given to Jesus in dying to where he wouldn't feel pain. I believe he felt every stripe. I believe he felt the nails going into his hands. I believe if he felt the slow suffocation that is crucifixion. I believe that. Then why didn't he stop it? Because according to this verse, when they're about to take him, and Peter takes out a sword and cuts off the guy's ear, and Jesus reprimands him and says, "Hey, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions," which can be anywhere from 24 to 60,000 angels. "I could call 12 legions to my side and no one would ever touch me." The only reason we could hurt God is because he let us. Mark 4:37-39 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, saying unto him, Master, carest not thou that we ran out of batteries." That's what I've been trying to be. That's what they're trying to tell me in the back, and I keep walking away. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." By the way, if you've ever been into a ship in a storm, it's terrifying. You see, I don't like driving a car in storms that much, much less being in a ship, much less being in this day and age, that day and age. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, saying unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Let me tell you this. God's so powerful. And yes, he created the universe, so there's that. But when he was just Jesus, when we actually physically hurt him, he was not only able to call angels, he could control the weather. And as you can see from yesterday and today, weather can pretty much harm or kill anything. especially in that day and age. If he didn't want to be hurt, he didn't have to be hurt, but he allowed it to happen. In Galatians 1:3-4, it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Here's the thing. God can only be hurt because he allows it. He gave himself for us. It was never taken from him. Christ's life was not taken. It was given. He can only be hurt because he allows it. But then what's his weakness? You see, if God has any weakness, it's that he gave his heart to mankind. See, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." For God so loved. That's what you wonder why John 3:16 is such an amazing, such a powerful, such a famous verse. It's because it has every part in it that people need to hear. First of all, you need to know that God loved the world. Then you need to know that God gave his Son. Then you need to know that he gave it his Son for us, that we should not perish, and then that to believe on him, or to have everlasting life, we just need to believe on him. That's some pretty cool stuff. And that's why it's such a famous verse. But so for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It doesn't say God had to. God was not obligated to give his Son. If God has any weakness at all, it's that he loves mankind too much. And again, God has no flaws. So when I say too much, he loves us enough to get hurt. Luke 22:42 says, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." ADD, I can't stand still and preach. It's weird. So give me 1 second. Are you good? All right. So, let me read that verse again. It says, Luke 22:42, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be gone." God didn't want to get hurt. Jesus never wanted to be bruised. He never wanted to be crucified. He never wanted to feel the crown of thorns on his head. That's not something God wanted to do. That's not something Jesus wanted to happen. You see, we sometimes get mixed up in our lives. Well, you know what? God does what he wants, does what he does, and we don't matter. You ever feeling that you don't matter to God, that you're not important to God, that God somehow left you alone, that somehow when he's created the world, you see a lot of, there's this whole deist theory, and again, deism has been around for hundreds of years. Deism works like this, and a few of our founding fathers felt this way, that God created the world, and then he just left it to work as it worked. That is no more. Is this not working either? Oh, I need to pull it up. How's that? Alright. You guys hear me? Or do I need to go up there? I can stand there and just I'll be like this the whole time. Wait, let's make sure it's on. That's also very important. It is on. So here's the thing. See, God, the deism theory worked like this. So God created the world. Whoa. All right, they also call it the clockmaker's theory. Here's how it works. A man builds a clock, and then he lets it run. And then he doesn't touch it. It just runs on its own. And a lot of people believed, well, God just created this world, and he's not really personally involved. He just lets it go. He just lets it work on its own. And that's a nice theory, and some people like to think that way, but it's completely wrong. You see, it's a little bit like atheism. Atheism believes there's no God. Deism is just like the Christian form of atheism, except there's no Christianity to it. Because if God doesn't care about this world, if God actually let this world run without him, then he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ. You see, God didn't send Jesus because he wanted to. God sent Jesus because he loves us. God let himself be born and die because he loves us. It's a fact that we need to remind ourselves every day. Listen, our salvation is great, but oftentimes we're like, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. The only reason that happens is because we're loved. Because God gave us his weakness.
Because God allowed himself to be hurt for us. And God loves you. And so when you think, you know, God does not care. God just doesn't care about me. When you think about that, and you think, you know what, man, God's not paying attention to me. Remember that he was willing to die for you. And if someone's willing to die for you, they're most likely willing to be involved in caring about you. God loves you. You see, God's greatest weakness, God's only weakness, is he loves humanity. It's the only thing that ever allowed him to be hurt. Matthew, I'm actually just going to stand behind this thing. I feel kind of echoey.
In Matthew 14:10 says, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on the foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed the sick." Let me set the scene for you in Matthew 14. John the Baptist just got beheaded. Now, if you guys don't know, John the Baptist and Jesus were actually very close. They were cousins. And not only were they cousins, but, you know, John the Baptist preached Jesus before Jesus did. And they were close, and Jesus loved John the Baptist. But then John dies. And it says, Jesus, when he heard of it, departed by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on the foot out of the cities. You see, he went to be alone. Jesus, being God, but still having human emotions, is broken down a little bit because his friend had just been separated from him. His friend had just died. Now Jesus, being all knowing, knows that he'll see his friend again. That's not a problem, but I think it still stirs his heart. I think it still affects him. He goes to be alone in a desert place. Often when I want to be alone, I just go somewhere and somewhere in my house and just sit there. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus didn't have a house. Jesus was constantly teaching people, and so he takes a boat and then takes it to a desert. I don't know how you take a boat to a desert, but he takes it to a desert place, takes a boat to a desert place so he can be alone. And then people find out about it, and crowds and multitudes come to him. And you see, if it would have been a hateful or vengeful God, Jesus would have killed them for bothering him. But it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sick." God loves us. Amen. God cares about us. God allows himself to be ignored, to be hurt for us. You see, the only reason that you can hurt a God is because he allows it. But the way you hurt a God is to find his weakness, and his weakness is that he gave his heart to mankind. It's not going to be a very long sermon today, but I will. This is my last point, and then I'll give you some application. Why does God allow himself to be hurt? Why does God allow himself to be hurt? I told you that that his greatest weakness was mankind, but why? Well, first of all, let me say this. It's in his nature. He that loveth knoweth not, or he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's First John 4:8-9. Let me read it one more time. He that loveth not God, or loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You see, God loves us. You see, God allowed himself to be hurt. And not only does he allow himself to be hurt, by the way, and I'll get to this in a second, but not only did he allow himself to be hurt on Calvary, not only did he allow himself to be hurt as a human, but he allows his heart, God's heart, to be broken, to be hurt, to be wounded every day because it's in his nature. God's nature is love. You'll see that God is merciful. You'll see that God is just in many places in the Bible, but it never describes it like this. It does not say God is loving. It says that God is love. God is love. Every fiber of God's being, every part of his spirit that he has is love. Everything he does out of love. Everything that every time he doesn't act, it's out of love. God cannot love God cannot not love. Yeah, God can't not love. That's good grammar right there. But just like God can't die, he can't cease to love. Because God exists. He is the I am, but he is also the God is love. Now let me tell you something. That is a huge encouragement to us. You see, because listen, when we mess up, when we sin, and God punishes us, and you know when you're being punished for sin. Why? Because it comes to the back of your mind like, this is totally for that. And you're like, oh. And so maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way, but that's how I think. When I know something, and even when it's like that, yes, God is being just there. Yes, God is being corrective there, but God is still being love right there. You see, when you have a loved one who is sick, who is dying, who is in the hospital, who maybe there's no hope for them, and maybe even they're unsaved, and there is no hope for them, seemingly no hope for them, or maybe they have passed away. When you see that, and you say, ah, why did God let that happen? And you're like, well, maybe he was showing his plan, but definitely he was showing his love. Because God is love. Whatever he does it out of love. You know, I believe that God created hell out of love. I believe that God created pain out of love. God is love. It is his nature. I said it's in his nature, but it is his nature. Everything he does. Everything that happens good in your life, everything that happens bad in your life, every prayer that it goes answered and every prayer that doesn't go goes unanswered comes out of love. You know, we always like to say that everything happens for good, and that's in the Bible for us that for Christians, everything happens for good, and that's great. But it's not just for good; it's for love. You see, why does he allow himself to be hurt? Well, it's in his nature. And secondly, we needed a savior. Matthew 1:21 says, and I like this verse. Again, we don't quote very often, but I like this verse. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It's just a great verse. Jesus' name, it's just, you know, you save your people from their sins. And Isaiah 53:11, which is what we started out in, I never got to 11. All right, sorry, I did. It says, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." This is talking about God looking down on Jesus. "And he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." You see, God is love, and that love made him say, you know what? These people need a savior. That love made him say, you know what? I need to do this. This is in my nature. Because God's love was his nature, his sacrifice was in his nature. How do we hurt a God? We hurt a God by letting him be God. We hurt God by allowing himself to give himself for us. We hurt God because by needing a savior. Like it or not, you have hurt God this morning in one way or another. And listen, I'm not here to condemn you for it. My job is not to condemn. But the fact is, And again, you've probably heard this a million times, but I think, and I said this last week, I think you need to think of it almost every day. You don't need to live in depression saying, oh, I'm a bad person, I hurt God. That's not how I want you to live your life. That's not how God would want you to live your life. However, you should recognize the fact that when he was getting stripes on his back, when he was being tortured and crucified, it was your fault. You share the blame in that. Now, God came down. God came down willingly. God, as I showed you earlier, God came willingly for us. But he had to come. He had to get hurt. He had to die. Jesus did. Because people were sinners. And if you're a sinner, which I am, and unfortunately you all are too, you share the blame. Now, here's the thing. It says that I'm going to give you a couple quick, just a couple of applications to this, and then we're going to go home, and I'm going to go see my cute little baby. Firstly, and this is very important. This is, this is what separates. I'm not someone who ever mocks anyone else's faith. I don't believe in mocking people's faith. I think it's completely wrong. Just to mock it and be mean, because God's not a cruel God. But I will say this. What you believe in matters. And I think what church you go to matters, because it depends on what they preach and what they teach. So some churches believe, or some churches are more and more teaching that you know, God died for everybody, and God, by the way, God did die for everybody, and then they'll say, and that means everybody's going to heaven, and that's not quite true. Sorry. Let me read this. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. Why doesn't it say all there? Why doesn't it say all? Can I theorize that the reason to say it doesn't say he bare the sin of all is the same reason that John 3:16, like I said, the most famous verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, qualifiers are important in the Bible. The difference between many and all is very important. John 3:16 wouldn't have been the same verse had it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all would have everlasting life." That'd be a different verse. That would be a different meaning. But instead it says that whosoever believeth in him. You see, my first application is, you hurt God. You figured out a way to hurt God. You used his nature against him. And again, I know you probably didn't mean to do this willingly, but we use his nature against him, and we allowed him to be hurt for our sakes. You can't change time. You can't change your sins. You can't go back and erase what you've done. So now what? Well, now you need to believe on him. And I know we're talking to mostly church people. I know you came out, you know, it's negative 30 outside. I know. But the fact is, you hurt God. Don't make it useless. Don't make it useless that you hurt God. Don't make it frivolous. Don't be like, "Well, I hurt God, that's it." You see, because God hurt himself the reason. He gave himself the reason. He gave the Son so that you would believe on him, so you'd ask him for forgiveness of your sins, so you would repent, so you would become clean. That is why he gave himself. That is why he allowed himself to be hurt. He loves you, yes. That's why he allowed himself to be hurt. But he allowed himself to be hurt for a purpose, that we might go to heaven. And the only way to get to heaven, the only way to be clean from our sins, the only way to repay him if there was any way, the only way to make light of it, the only way to make it almost worth it, worth him dying for us, is to use his great gift of his hurt, is to use his pain, is to use his death. See, here's the thing. If you run into a fire to save someone, if you run into a fire, you save them, you set them on the ground, and they decide to run back into a fire after you've been burnt for it, that would make you angry. But since you chose to run into the fire and you saved them, you have no right to be mad at them if they stay outside, if they actually utilize your gift. But many people today are get taken out of the fire. And again, they're not saved and then get unsaved. That's not how this works. But they get taken out of the fire. God gives them a way of salvation. And they say, no, I'd rather die. And he says, well, I sacrificed myself for you. I gave something so that you might do this. And they're like, eh, no. It's like when you give someone a gift, you spend money on the gift. Listen, I'm a cheap guy. I like to give gifts. And usually when I give gifts, I get like no refund gifts, you know. And which means you get them in shady places. But I get no refunds with gift. So if the person doesn't like it, they can't take it back. And then, so here's the thing. It's like me giving, Raylene a gift, and her not liking it, which Raylene likes all my gifts. And I give my sister a gift, and her being like, oh, okay. And then throwing it away. And then never opening it. And then never receiving it. That is an insult to God. Now, here's the thing. I like giving gifts. I don't mind. I'm not going to say I don't mind giving presents. I love giving presents. So I have no problem giving it. But when someone takes it and then throws it away, imagine how angry I am. Now, imagine if I did that with my life. And then imagine if you did that with the life of God. With Jesus Christ's life. With an entire life. With 33 years. He gave us 33 years. And many people say, eh. Nah. First of all, you can hurt God. But the reason that he allows himself to be hurt is so we might be safe. But secondly, the reason he allows himself to be hurt is because he loves us. And again, that sounds like it's circular. It sounds like it's double talk. But God still allows himself to be hurt for you. You see, I've been talking about Jesus most of this time because Jesus is the physical part of God that got hurt. He's the physical part of God that actually got bruised, that actually bled for us. But God, as I said in the beginning, is still alive. And unfortunately, and strangely enough, I believe he can still get hurt. Because I don't know that you can love without getting hurt. Because yes, he gave Jesus' body, he gave Jesus, but when he left something on earth. You know, we see these cool things, most of them are bogus. And listen, if you believe it, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. But the Shroud of Turin is supposed to be the shroud that covered Jesus. And it's a neat little thing. I don't know if it's real. And it'd be cool if it had Jesus' blood on it. I don't think or know it's real. I think it's kind of weird that we'd still have that. But that's kind of cool. And then there's apparently a spear, the spear that apparently stabbed Jesus. We still supposedly have that somewhere. And then, just different little things like that. If you guys look at them, they'll say, oh, this was Jesus, And they're probably going to make another Indiana Jones about one of them. That's just how it works with those movies. So when you're looking at it, they're all really priceless items because people think that Jesus left them here. That they touched Jesus. But the cool thing that people just kind of forget is Jesus did leave something here. And that was his heart. God left his heart here. See, I said this last week. When you love someone, you give them a piece of your heart. And that makes you vulnerable. If they're holding it in their hands, they can crush it, they can take care of it, they can do whatever they want to it. And God gave you a piece of your heart. And if you're a Christian, you are his child. And as God's child, as his adoptive child, you have the power to hurt him. Not physically, but you have the power to break his heart. You see, I've seen a lot of people I have a very good friend who just went off into the world, and I know his mom real well, and it broke her heart very deeply. And there's not a whole lot of hurt in this world like someone getting broken from a heart from their kids, either spurning them or running away from them, or hating them. or disobeying them, or hurting themselves. You see, when your kid hurts himself, and listen, I'm not an expert on parenting. I've had a kid for 4 days, and he's already annoying me. He actually has complete like neck strength. It's incredible. He can like lift his head and look around, and he's not supposed to do that for like 4 months. So every time he does, I'm like, stop it. You have 4 months. And so you're holding him, and he's like turning, and I'm afraid he's going to hurt himself. And it's kind of hilarious. And again, that's a little example, but I know that, like, you know, we have all these child protective things. You know, like I had to buy all these little socket things so the kid doesn't electrocute himself. And then I guess I have these like drawer things so you don't swing out and hit him in the head. You know, all this ridiculous child-proof stuff. And the reason you do that is not because you're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. It's because you don't want your kid hurting yourself. Because when your kid hurts themselves, and parents, correct me if I'm wrong, when your kid hurts themselves, you feel a little bit of that pain too. God wants you to stop hurting yourself. Listen, God wants you to quit spitting in his eye. But I don't think a lot of people deal with the sin of spitting in God's eye and being mad at God and hating God. But a lot of people hurt themselves. And God's heart breaks. He's like, stop it. What are you doing to yourself? You have a sin that you just keep doing. Listen, God hates to see you in pain. I know that because God loves you. God loved you enough to die for you, so he loves you enough to just not want to see you in pain. You can still hurt God. And most of us do it by hurting ourselves. How do you hurt a God? First of all, you're born a sinner. First of all, you hurt him when the first time that you broke his law and became part of the reason that he had to come and die for your sins. How else do you hurt God? By rejecting him. By taking his sacrifice and throwing it away. But how else do you hurt a God? You do it by hurting yourself. You do it by breaking his heart. Everyone bow their head and close their eyes. Some of you might say, Pastor Grant, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I have taken his sacrifice, and I've done what God would want me to do with it. I've taken that hurt that I placed on him, and I did exactly what he intended to. But I still struggle. I still hurt him every day. And oftentimes when I hurt him, I just go on throughout my day and forget about it. I never apologize. I just forget about it. If you're like that, why don't you come and ask forgiveness for that? Maybe some of you in here, you now know that, you know, you hurt God, that you caused him to die for you, but you're still holding back. You still have his gift and you've never opened it, and it's sitting there on the counter and you've no plan to open it. Or maybe you feel bad about it. Maybe you say, well, if he died for me, if a holy God died for me, maybe shoes. If you'd want to use that gift, why don't you come and we'll talk to you down here. We'll pray with you. As the piano comes, if everyone would stand, please.